are Locked On Big 12, your daily podcast on the Big 12 Conference, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everybody. Josh Neighbors here for the Locked On Big 12 podcast. It is a Friday, April 23rd, 2021. On the show today, Garrett Ross of the Locked On Baylor Bears podcast joins me to talk all things Baylor spring football. Dave Aranda in year two. Is this a restart? Can he get out of his own way? A whole lot to get to. A team with a whole lot of question marks. We break it all down on today's show. All right, everybody. It is a Friday edition of the Locked On Big 12 podcast. And joining me from the Locked On Baylor Bears podcast, amongst other things, it is Garrett Ross. Garrett, how are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I am well. I am glad, you know, I was finally able to have you on as a guest about time that I did. You've been very nice in letting me come on your radio show several times. So it's about time I'd be a guest here. And all things Baylor, you know, that's kind of the focus of this, especially football, obviously, still kind of glowing in the light of the basketball championship. But I have to start with the article that Sam Kahn wrote over at The Athletic. And you had Sam on your show. The article is titled Baylor's Dave Aranda is finally doing it his way after year one struggles inspired by introspection. It's a really good piece. Go check it out at The Athletic. My general thoughts on this were that Dave Aranda had a tough time saying no, that the first year really did not go well for a plethora of reasons, and some of them maybe his fault, some of them not, definitely not his fault. And that now this kind of feels like year one of the way because COVID is not as prevalent as it was before. He's finally kind of in his own mindset. And I feel like there's a different feel to Dave Aranda. And also I think he's a very thoughtful person as well. He's very much like the title says, introspective person. I feel like this is almost like a fresh start this year.
No, it really is. I think he's kind of approaching that as well. Coming into the season, I don't think anybody anticipated what they were going to have to deal with COVID. And you're coming in as your first year ever as a head coach. And I think what he did was what a lot of people are going to do in that situation. You bring guys with you who you're comfortable with, right? Like guys you've had great relationships with, and you did that last year on the offensive end, and it just didn't work out, you know. And I think that's something that they kind of realized as the season progressed, and they never made the necessary adjustments. I think the way that they kind of went about utilizing the running back position blew up in their face. Mm-hmm. And that was something that he had no other option but to address in the offseason. So you go out and you make the coaching change. You get somebody you know and Coach Grimes that you bring over, and you kind of hope that this year it goes better. Now, I'm still curious of how they're going to implement everything. And another thing with the offense last year, it didn't work, but at the same time, they couldn't block, right? It doesn't matter who you have on the plays. It doesn't matter who you have in the backfield or who you have at quarterback. If you can't block, they're not going to be successful, dude. And I think that's something they're really going to have to focus on this year.
What did Sam say, before we get into the nitty gritty, what did Sam have to say about this piece about following around Dave Aranda, about talking to him? What did Sam have to say about the vibe he was getting from Dave heading into this second year?
He said that he's a lot more aware of some of the mistakes that he made last year. He knows some of the adjustments that he's going to have to make. I think it was more so of a learning curve for him. Also, another big thing that he's looking forward to and will really benefit him this year is actually being able to meet these guys in person, right? Like being able to build a relationship with you one-on-one. Like we could have all the Zoom calls in the world, but until I get you face-to-face and I get to, you know, talk with you and get to know you, my message might not be received by you in the same way. I think that's the biggest difference for him this year is he acknowledges that, and he's taken a more thoughtful approach to how he's setting up his practices. Last year, some of the things he was trying to do didn't work. So how he is approaching practice is something he's making an emphasis on this year, and really kind of being, you know, methodical with these guys and talking and going in detail with these game plans. That he's really focused on changing the concept of practice, and he thinks that's going to get them a better chance this year to win some of these games.
Yeah, so they make the coaching change. Obviously, Larry Fedora was their offensive coordinator. They bring in Jeff Grimes, who was at BYU. What are the changes on offense that you think we're going to see this season from the Baylor offense that we didn't see last year? Talk about running back usage, but are they getting back to basics? Obviously, you know, Jeff Grimes is a guy who's got a really battle-tested background when it comes to the offensive line. A guy who's been offensive line coach at a variety of places, including Auburn, Virginia Tech, BYU, LSU, right? What are they changing so this offense can progress as it needs to, as they kind of hit the reset button on that end of the field?
One of the things they've really been focusing on throughout practice is identifying a running back that could, they can rely on going downhill, right? Like, and they've messed around with bringing Abram Smith over from the defense and using him as running back to kind of provide some bulk and just to push up. That's one I've been working on, stretching the field. Last year, when you look at Baylor play, and a lot of Charlie Brewer got a lot of heat, and I think it was kind of unfair. It wasn't something, because it was all like, why aren't you pushing the ball? Well, your arm strength, you've lost your arm strength, right? That was a criticism for him all year long, when in reality, I think it was, he just didn't have the time. But they're going to try to push the ball more, and they're spreading their gaps on the offensive line to help with leverage and to get more push up front. So that's something you're going to see as well. It's going to be interesting to see what they do with Tristan Ebner. I think that they're trying to mess with him on not just focusing on using him as running back, not just focus on using him in the special teams. They're going to use him in the slot. They're going to use him in motion and kind of make get guys in position on the defense to get them off balance so they can attack.
Yeah, and that was one thing. You know, last year, you know, they almost lose both. I think Ebner and I forget who else it was. Who was it?
John Lovett.
Yeah, they considered both going into the portal, I think, or leaving the program at one point last year, and Aranda was able to bring them kind of back into the fold. Ebner's a guy they're going to have to lean on some this year, right? You know, when they try to build that line. How is building that line going? How is getting that offensive line going? Because, Gary, you touched on it, man. I mean, doesn't matter who's back there. We saw it, I think, Florida State from a few years ago. Great example, over and over and over again. They'd have these teams that come into the season ranked top 10, but it doesn't really matter. It doesn't actually even matter how good your defense is. If your offensive line is bad, your team will not be good. If you cannot block, your team will not be good, you know, at least at the level you want it to be. So what are they doing to really build that offensive line back?
It's definitely a work in progress. I'm not going to come on here and lie and say it's magically changed. It is it is still not where it needs to be, okay? I'm just going to be real with you right there. It's not where it needs to be. What they are doing, though, is when you bring in Eric Mateo, something – and he had a really great quote about this, and I think it's really important, and I'm interested to see how many other coaches take this approach – is there's no set position on the offensive line, right? Like, every guy is rotating at every position. And one of the things he told us was when he was at BYU, he rotated 20 different guys. He had 20 different sets of offensive linemen that he would rotate in. And a lot of that is, you don't know with COVID, right? Like, you don't know if you're going to miss one or two guys off your line for two. So you need to be able to have flexibility across the line. And if you're a right tackle, be able to go play left guard if need be for this game. So that's one of the things they're changing. To me, you've got to find more leadership. You have a couple of guys up front who are your essential leaders. That's going to be Connor Galvin and Xavier Newman. But it's, you can do all the things in the world, but you've got to find more continuity. Yeah. I guess it's still going to be a struggle this year on the offensive line. They're doing what they can, but you've got to really hit it on the recruiting trail and get better talented players to come in here. And if that means going and finding people in the transfer portal, which they've messed around with, they've gotten Giancarlo Valentin, Coach Rule did that a couple of years ago. He's still on this team. He hasn't really progressed the way I think even Rule staff expected him to, but you've got to find, you got to find dogs and put them up front. And right now Baylor just doesn't have that.
Yeah. Now the lucky thing for them is that they're experienced that offensive line. Like, a lot of those guys have played. I mean, what, Galvin's a senior, you know, Johnson Newman's a senior. Valentin is a guy who's a redshirt senior, even though he's a transfer. You know, Jeffrey Mose Mose Jeffrey, I believe, is still playing. He's still playing. He's still there. He's a senior as well. The only guy, you know, the right tackle, at least right now, you know, I'm sure it might change with Mateos, as you mentioned, but only guy they've got is Gavin Byers, who I believe is an underclassman. But they still got a lot of guys out there who are older. It's just a matter of getting those guys to gel together.
No, it really is. And I think some people to keep an eye on as far as your younger guys would be, you know, Mose Jeffrey. What can Casey Phillips bring to you this year? And then you have a lot of younger guys that you have that were recruited early on. I think you're going to see a lot of rotation. And you're going to see some names come out there that you might not recognize. And I think that's going to be essential for them going forward as far as getting those in-game reps. But you're really going to have to rely on those upperclassmen, like you mentioned, your Connor Galvins, to be able to solidify. And if somebody makes a mistake, correct them and have those young guys respond to them in a positive manner.
All right, let's talk about the quarterback spots. This is a spot that's really interesting. Obviously, it was occupied by Charlie Brewer, and it had been occupied by Charlie Brewer for a good amount of time, but now they kind of progress this next era. And who are the guys right now that are battling out? I know Gary Bohannon's obviously somebody that we know. Jacob Zeno is somebody else. I think that a lot of people have heard that name. And look, I saw enough of Jacob Zeno a couple of years ago where I was like, why is this guy not the heir apparent? Right. What is the sentiment surrounding that position right now? Does anybody have an edge? I know we got the spring game coming up this week, but look, the spring game should not decide who's going to play that spot, right? That should be decided in practice. But can you tell who's got an edge right now when it comes to that quarterback competition?
I would say I'm still going Zeno. Okay. I think Zeno is going to be the guy. You are seeing a lot of rotation with him and Gary Bohannon, and along with Blake Shapen as well, that they're trying to give them even reps in practice. Mm-hmm. Kyron Drones, the freshman that came in from Shadow Creek High School down in the Houston area, is probably the future. He's not getting as many reps in practice right now, but it's kind of more so Zeno, Bohannon, and the field. I mean, they like what they're getting from Shapen. Shapen's more of a baseball guy, but I think it's one of those things where we're not going to know who the quarterback is going out. We're going to have the spring game, and we're still going to be talking about who's the quarterback as we go into the fall. I ultimately think it's going to be Zeno. And one of the reasons I'm curious to think that they're not announcing the quarterback now is if you say Zeno is our guy right here, Bohannon's going to hit the transfer portal. Right. Do you want to keep him there from a depth perspective? I think that's one of those balancing acts they're trying to do. But I think ultimately when the game kicks off against Texas State, Jacob Zeno's your guy.
Yeah, I'm with that too. Just from a physical standpoint, he seems like the guy that and also from what he's done, I mean, his limited reps, it was pretty impressive what he did, but still, I just think the guy's got the arm strength. The guy's got, the physical tools that you would want to see from a guy that, that'd be playing quarterback for you. I know he's not the biggest guy in the world, but still he's got some mobility to him.
Right.
And he's kind of like the right size. And also he's come in big spots, almost like a closing pitcher. It wasn't like a ton of reps, but still been pretty impressive. And in terms of eligibility, he's got two or three more years left?
I think he's got 3 years.
Yeah, 3 years left. So Jacob Zeno, I think he gives you a lot of flexibility, and I just think he's the right guy to build around moving forward for Dave Aranda at this point in time. What about the pass catchers? Who are going to be the guys this year? Because offense obviously was a struggle. And really when your line is bad, it's tough to know what you have at receiver, right? When those guys aren't able to get down the field, make their moves, get in their breaks, all those kinds of things. Who are the guys on the receiving end that are going to be big factors this season for Baylor?
I think the ones to keep an eye on are RJ Snead is more than likely going to emerge as your number one receiver, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not saying he's going to be that Denzel Mims dynamic thing, that we've seen in the past, but he is very efficient, and I think he'll emerge as your number one receiver. Right there with him is going to be Tyquan Thornton. I believe he's coming. This is going to be his sophomore season, mm-hmm. and he's explosive. He's already made some catches in the first couple of spring practices that were open to the public that were just jaw dropping. I mean, he is really dynamic. I think he is the future star at the position for Baylor. But other guys to keep an eye on are going to be Gavin Holmes and Josh Fleeks. I think those could be your main receivers. And they have a lot of young talent, right, that we haven't even really seen the field. And you have Seth Jones, that he was another one of those Shadow Creek products that I think you're going to see get a lot of reps this year as well. Jackson Gleason is another guy that he's kind of smaller, but you can put him in the slot position and he's going to burn you. He is super quick. But as far as those playmaking guys, those ones to really focus on, it's going to be RJ Snead and Tyquan Thornton.
To Today's Locked On Big 12 podcast is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting, best for you protein bar out there. We've been talking about it for a long time now. Make sure you guys go give Built Bar a try. They've got 18 flavors, 6 new flavors, including caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry bar, chia, and lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. Those go along with their 12 original flavors. All of these are covered in chocolate. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKED15. That's LOCKED15, LOCKED15. And you also have a chance to win a free cooler while supplies last. Once again, BuiltBar.com, promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Let's talk some defense. Pretty good for the most part, given what they had to work with on the offensive end. Would you say that's a fair assessment?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you do what you can do, but the offense was getting pushed off the field so fast. I mean, it was three and out after three and out after three and out. Your defense is getting gassed, man. I don't care if you have how much talent you have on the end. If you can't catch your breath, you're not going to be able to get stops. And I think that's why you were seeing a lot of the time your lead tacklers on that team were in the secondary and, you know, your linebackers. That's never what you want to see from a defensive perspective. But the defense is, it's one of those things. They returned 10 starters on the defense this year. And this is going to be your second year under Coach Roberts. So what we're seeing in practice is, I think, to be expected, right? The defense is head and shoulders above where the offense is at this point, because you have a whole nother regime coming in, a new philosophy that you're teaching on the offensive end. But if the offense can get some production and get off the field, not be running into those three and outs on a consistent basis, this defense can have an opportunity to put your team in position to win games.
Yeah, and so, you know, they used to have, obviously, Phil Snow there, and they go with Ron Roberts. I mean, what are the changes? You know, was a lot of wholesale changes on the defense? Was it kind of, you know, what was the difference between Phil Snow and now Ron Roberts?
I don't necessarily know there was too many changes. It's more so what they like to do with Ron Roberts and Dave Aranda is they have that, it's more like a hybrid linebacker, what they call the star position. That's been the biggest difference in this defense compared to what you had under Phil Snow, is you're going to have that guy that can go all over the field. You can put him in different positions, and it's Jalen Petrie. And, you know, he's a safety, but you might see him lined up on the edge. You might see him, you know, at linebacker. They do a lot of different schemes and blitzes with him. I think that's the biggest difference in this defense compared to what you saw under Phil Snow.
Yeah, and so, I mean, last year, you know, their defense still did pretty well for the most part. I mean, against the pass especially, they were very strong last year. That secondary, and the entire, as you mentioned, the entire defense as a whole, but that secondary is pretty old, and that is such a luxury to have. I mean, you know, just even, you know, if you want to include Jalen Petrie and kind of that all over the place guy, I mean, well, they've got, I mean, all seniors in the back end of this defense, at least from a starter's perspective right now.
Yeah. I mean, you got Christian Morgan, JT Woods back there, Riley Tejada, Kalen Barnes. You've got a lot of depth and experience in the back end. And you complement that guy with, you know, a guy like Terrell Bernard, who's coming back off that shoulder injury in the middle. The back end of their defense is definitely the strength for Baylor.
What about rushing the passer? I mean, who will be the guys that will get into the quarterback this season for Baylor?
I think the one to really focus on is going to be TJ Franklin. This is a junior. He's a local product from Temple High School, which is about, I don't know, 20 miles down the road from Waco. That's the one to really keep an eye on. I think you're going to see some good things from Rob Solon this season. And the person I think is going to have a breakout year for them is Gabe Hall. Gabe Hall is going to be a sophomore. He had some really good production last year, and I think that now he's gotten more adequate to strength. Vic Valora has came over from LSU, and he's got these guys, I mean, jacked up, dude. They're all yoked up, and he's one of those guys. Gabe Hall is one of them who has really benefited from that, and I think he's gotten quicker. He shed some of that baby fat coming out of high school. He's going to be a problem on the defensive line this year.
You know, when I look at the schedule, I mean, they have their schedule sets up pretty well. At this point in time, they play what, 5 total road games, it looks like, this season.
Yeah.
And one of them is at Texas State, which is, you know, like I like Jake Spavital. I'm actually a pretty big fan. I love him at West Virginia. I thought he was a very good coordinator. I watched them play last year. They do not have the athletes to keep up with Baylor, especially this team kind of improves. Texas Southern at KU. And I mean, there's a good chance this team can start 3-0. Now, they do hit that rough stretch where they play Iowa State, at Oklahoma State, and then West Virginia. But I think the schedule is honestly pretty balanced. Like there is a lot of balance. There's really no awful stretch besides the Iowa State, at Oklahoma State, West Virginia stretch. And two of those three games are at home. There's no situation where they have back-to-back road games this season. So I think Baylor should be setting up this year. I mean, they better be going to a bowl game, right? They need to go to a bowl game this season.
They do, man. But I'm going to put the cat – if they get five wins, I think that's going to be good. I think you're going to start off 3-0. Dude, I'm telling you, the offensive line, I'm scared.
Is that bad?
I'm scared with the offensive line. But I think you're going to start the season off 3-0. Now, when you go into – you host Iowa State, it might get a little bad. How you rebound on that game, though, that's going to be the most important.
They play Iowa State pretty close last year. And, I mean, you know, I know Iowa State's better, but so is Baylor, right? I mean, they played them pretty close in that game, right? And that was the game where, what, three first-half interceptions from Brock Purdy?
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's the thing. If you could get – if that secondary could show up and they could, you know, put Brock Purdy in a bind, you could definitely win that game. But, man, I think Iowa State is going to be special this year.
They're going to be good.
They're going to be good, dude. So, that one, I think you'll drop. Yeah. Now, the game at Oklahoma State, if you can get your things together and you can mentally bounce back from that if you lose to Iowa State, I think that's a game you can go and steal. I also think you have a good opportunity to beat West Virginia. Mm-hmm. The real game that's going to be intriguing to me, and it's the non-conference game, but there's so many storylines going into it.
BYU.
With BYU.
Right.
That's going to be a lot of fun. You know, and I really don't know too much about BYU. I know, obviously, that you're losing Wilson to the NFL. You've lost your offensive coordinator and your O-line coach. They're here at Baylor. So I don't know what they're going to bring to the table. That could be a game that you could win. Texas is intriguing. I mean, what do you say about Texas? They have all the talent in the world every year. Can you put it together? You know, I don't know. TCU, I think that's a winnable game. And I think K-State's one that you get. Texas Tech, you got to win that. I mean, I think Baylor can get five or six wins, but I'm gonna play it safe and put five at the max.
I would say, here's the thing, is that, look, if you go 3-0 like you're supposed to, then right. you start looking at the conference schedule and say, okay. And look, I'll even spot on BYU because, I mean, that team has lost some, you know, as you mentioned, lost a lot in the coaching department and lost some key players as well. I start looking at the schedule. So I'm going to hand them those four wins if you add in Kansas. That means that to get the six wins, you need to get two of Iowa State at home, at Oklahoma State, West Virginia, Texas at home, TCU on the road, Oklahoma at home, at Kansas State, Texas Tech at home. They can get two of those games. They can definitely get two of those games. I understand your cautious optimism. I understand your caution. I'm more apt to think that a team like maybe Texas – now, and I'll kind of have more formed thoughts this as we head towards, you know, the summer or whatever. But
right.
I kind of apt to think teams like Texas Tech and Kansas State might be more apt to take that step backwards,
yes,
because of what they lost and because there's a lot of uncertainty in some of those places compared to a team like Baylor that now is kind of moving forward, it feels like, after a really difficult season. That's just kind of me, though.
No, I mean, that's a very good assessment. Like I said, I know that Tech game. I think that's one that you definitely can win. Kansas State, I think you can as well. But I think down the stretch, it's just a matter of balancing it out and balancing your emotions. If you do drop a game here and there, I hope they get to a bowl game, but I'm still going to sit idle at five.
So do you think Baylor fans will be really pleased if they get to a bowl game this season? They'd be saying, you know what? This is awesome. That's great progression.
I think it's something, it's almost a must, right? Like the expectations now are so high here off of the success that you've had in the past. And with the track record of this coaching staff, right? Like, it's almost a must that you have to be in a bowl game this year.
Yeah, and I think fans will be happy with which I'm always pleased when fan bases. You know, I know you said the expectations are a little high, a little higher than they should be maybe. But I always am pleased when a team makes a bowl game. The fans say, "Good, we're glad." You know, kind of they just realize.
Right, yeah.
And this there is some rebuilding to be done here. Now, luckily for them, I think that defense is going to be so key because it is a veteran defense. And how many times do we say, yeah, you know, everything looks great, but I've got a lot of questions about the secondary. That's the fact that Baylor does not have to say that is a huge help, because we know how many teams college football, man, secondary is always a gigantic question for them.
No, it really is. I think that is one of the advantages for Baylor. And it also helps that the strength of your team is what the strength of your head coach is. It's that defensive mindset. And his mentor is the one that's coaching you. So, yeah, I mean, your defense is going to be crucial this season for them. But to me, I'm still worried about the offensive line. You can get all the stops in the world, and you can have a great defense, but if you can't put up points, you're in trouble.
I will say what I like about this, though, is the fact that they get to play some easier competition beginning of the season to kind of ramp themselves up offensively. And I always talk about this, but generating confidence, even though it might be like false confidence, it's still confidence, and it can carry you in some aspects. So I like the fact, and that's one big thing we forgot to mention about last year, though. The number of games Baylor had canceled from the outset, right? And also the fact that a lot of schools didn't get their offense or their team going right against those lower tiered opponents. Like, that's why those games are important. Not just the fact, you know, it's fillers in the schedule and W's in the one of the win column. That helps you your team prepare and kind of take steps up, right? I mean, for them, playing Texas State, Division I team, obviously Texas Southern, you know, not Division I team, Division I, you know, single A, whatever the hell they call it now. And then take a step up, you know, on the road against Kansas, not really much of a step up, but you see what I'm saying? You kind of get to build and then go into your conference schedule. I think it's very important that this season they get to build the way they didn't get to last year.
No, it really is. And you pair that with actually having an off season. There are going to be light years ahead of where they were last year. And I think that's a really good point. And I feel like last season in that game with Kansas, when you saw them come out and it was close through the first three quarters, but once you were able to open it up, we, you know, from our perspective, it was like, okay, you know, there's some hope here. And then for whatever reason, they just weren't able to put that together. But I think that now that you have the offseason, you have a firm understanding from these players of what Coach Aranda expects out of you. You know, I think that's going to definitely benefit them, and it's going to catapult them. And you mentioned those games early on. If you can reel off a 3-game winning streak going into that Iowa State game, then you have all the momentum in the world.
Yeah, I'm buying Baylor stock this year. Call me crazy. I think a lot of people are kind of down on them. I'm buying Baylor stock, Garrett. Where can people find you and all of your work and its variety?
So you can catch me on Twitter @_GarrettRoss. I also cover recruiting for Baylor with 247 Sports. Mm-hmm. And then every day I am on 1660 ESPN in Waco, Texas. I do a show with the voice of the Bears, John Morris, from 2 to 3. And then I jump on with Glenn Stretch Smith. He was a former coach and scout for the Dallas Cowboys and for Oklahoma Sooners. We do a show. It's really heavy NFL talk from 3 to 4. And then we wrap it up with Tom Barfield, who you come on with us all the time and do as guest appearances as well. It's called Game Time. And we go from 4 to 6 with a lot of local coverage. We get a lot of Baylor guys coming on, Jerry Hill, Bryce Cherry, a lot of guys who are really focused in on the Baylor program. But you can catch me there every day, Monday through Friday, on 1660 ESPN.
Awesome. Garrett Ross, we appreciate your time.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
All right, that will do it for today's Locked On Big 12 podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter @LOBig12. Follow me @Josh Neighbors_. Until next time, my friends, please stay safe.